Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies, and our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, it just seems like David can't get much rest, doesn't it? Today we're going to see the beginning of a new series of battles that David is going to have to fight. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel chapter 5, and we're going to be in verses 17 through 25. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." Therefore the name of that place is Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." And David did as the Lord commanded him and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. Ah, ruffling feathers. The Philistines weren't bothered when David was ruler over Judah, but add the rest of Israel into this and they're bugged. So they move to protect their own territory, and maybe to try and gain some of the Israelites' territory. When they realize that Israel wasn't going to destroy themselves with a civil war, they decide to come up against David again. They also were irritated by the friendship that David now has with the king of Tyre. In order to fight against David, all the five principalities of the Philistines combined together against him. David comes down to a fortified place or stronghold, not with the intention of staying safe, but of having a rendezvous for his men there to prepare to meet the Philistines. The Philistines come, and demonstrating their numbers, they spread out across the valley. What is David's first action when he sees the Philistines preparing for war? He consults God. I could hug David. What a contrast to Saul. David asks very specific questions of God, too. "Will you hand them over to me?" And through the Urim and Thummim, God tells David that he will give the Philistines over into his hand, and David will be able to repel this assault on his nation. David comes to this place which will forever forward be called Baal Perazim. David fights the battle and wins. Now, look at the imagery used here. David describes the way God defeats the Philistines like a floodwaters, bursting forth from their barriers, carrying everything in its pathway. Thus comes the name Baal Perazim, which means Lord of Bursting Through. Notice, too, that David here in this battle gives praise to God. He doesn't claim the victory or the credit for himself. Now, if you've never seen the devastation and destruction of a flood firsthand, I'm glad for you. About 6 years ago, the flooding in our city was so bad that you couldn't get across town because the main routes go over the river. We live on one side of the river on a hill, so there was no water where we were, but everything else for us is on the other side of the river. Let me tell you, water always wins. Water always wins. You can't stop that much water. So this image for me of God breaking out against David's enemies like water breaks out is so vivid to me. As water always wins, God always wins. The true victor here is God, and David knows it, and he gives the glory to God. In the face of this water, the Philistines dropped the idols they carried with them in battle, hoping their gods would help them in battle if they carried them. Remember how the Israelites got in trouble for carrying the ark around as if it were an idol? And David and his men pick up the idols. Now, lest anyone think that David and his men are starting to worship idols, we're going to jump quickly over to the parallel passage of David's story in 1 Chronicles 14:12, where it says, "And they left their gods there, and David gave command, and they were burned." So David gathered up the idols for destruction, not for use. That probably didn't make the Philistines super happy with David either. The Philistines rally for one more attack, and David, again, he seeks God. And God, this time, gives David a different message. He doesn't tell David to go up against the Philistines, but to go around them, to sneak up on them. And what will be happening while they are doing that? God tells David that he will act on behalf of Israel's army. Wow! David is going to battle with the general in command. How totally cool would that be? They will hear the sound of marching on the tops of the trees. To hear the sound of the army of the Lord as if it were marching in the air above their heads? That's got to be a unique sound, right? And that sound is a signal that God has gone out before them. God is in the battle. He will go out in the battle and strike down the army of the Philistines. And that sound will mask the movement of the Israelites coming from behind to attack the Philistines. So David did what God told him to do, and God struck down the Philistines. Now, there's a lot in this, so we're going to look a little closer. First of all, when we're faced with adversity, talk to God. He will direct your course of action just like he does for David. He even gives David very specific instructions about how he wants David to act. He'll guide our steps too, not with words and direct commands. If you're hearing voices, that's not a good thing. But he will make his paths known to you if you're trusting his Holy Spirit, and he will guide you to where you're supposed to be. His Spirit will let you know when you are where you are, where you should be or should not be. But you have to listen and follow directions. And the only way I know to recognize his voice is to be in his word. Again, I'm not talking about an actual voice. Secondly, God moves on behalf of his people. God still does this today, ladies. I know he does. I'm here today having been dragged out of a pool as a toddler by a mystery person. No one saw them. No one was around except for my sisters, who were 3 and 5 years old. And when I threw myself into the bottom of the deep end, yeah, I did it on purpose, my sisters ran to get my mom. We were alone. There was no one else even near the pool. So whether God sent an angel to drag my beauty out of the water, or whether he sent someone else to come by that pool at just the right time, who knows? But the point is, God acted to prevent me from drowning that day. Also, the idols that we place before ourselves as our saving tools, they're not going to help us. They should be destroyed if we're treating them as idols. I have a friend who recognized the power that they had let music have over their lives. And that friend gave away almost all of their music so that they could break that hold that that idol had for them. Now, music is not bad, and that person would never say that music was bad. But they knew that when they needed to be filled up, they weren't going to God's word. They were going to music. When they needed comfort, whatever they needed, they were going to music for that. They'd made that an idol, and they knew it. Anything can become an idol. We have to be careful to balance our things and our activities to make sure we are in line with God. Finally, God is ready to bring us the victory when it's in line with his will and when we're resting in him and give him the glory. Remember, none of us can really boast about ourselves. We can only boast that God can do amazing things through us, imperfect humans. I'm not superhuman. I'm not super smart. God has given me a heart to put my thoughts out there for other people to peruse. But if you find anything of value in what you hear, I can pretty much guarantee it's there because of God. Because of the truths that he has shown me and has opened my eyes to so that I can share them with others. Sometimes those truths are from long and hard lessons that he's had to beat into my thick skull. Other times, those are things that his Spirit and I are at complete agreement on. And other times, there's things that I'm still struggling daily with to get a better handle on. But I pray that God's word touches you in some way through what I'm able to share. So, given those things, I have 4 questions for you today. Are you seeking God in your life? Not just in struggles, but in everyday things too? Can you think of an example from your life of how God has moved in your life? An obvious example would be changing your heart and making you his child, but try to think of something from your mundane day-to-day life that reminds you that God is still working. Thirdly, can you identify an idol in your life that has grabbed your time and attention at the expense of your time and attention being given to God? And finally, do you know that God is the one who owns the victory? That he is the one who brings success, not you? I tell you what, there's so much freedom in knowing that you're not on the hook for being perfect all the time. And giving God the glory for what he does in us is both freeing and it also helps you to appreciate more and more the grace of him, the amazing God that you serve.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.